That old world chum, doo-doo-doo-doo. That old world chum, reviews say it's all right.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 15 of That Old World Charm. My name, as always, is Adam Camilleri, and thank you very much for joining us on this Vamp Kid book, not Emo Kid book review, or Vamp Kidding book review. I'm joined by Peter the Falcon himself. Hello, mate.
Hello, I want to suck your blood.
Yeah, we all knew you were going to do that.
Yes, you did. You knew I would do this.
No one's happy about it. And Danny Boy, the Sweet Meats himself. Hello, mate.
Adam, thank you for the warm intro. Peter, that joke is tired and you should be ashamed of yourself.
It was tired 50 years ago, man.
It's midnight here. I'm doing what I can.
Yeah.
That joke is undead. That's what it was, really.
It's undead. It's,
indomitable. It was beautiful. It was intelligent.
It's indomitable 77, as in there's not enough combat res in the world to break it.
It was highbrow.
So... we are here to review, at the behest and request of our patrons, the Vampire Counts Army book. And because this is the one they requested, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be voting again after this one and just racking up the next one in the queue. So if you want to be a part of this, ask questions of us when we do review these books, or have a say in the content that we are making, and in addition to getting all the beautiful perks of the whole second half of this podcast and access to the Discord and that stuff, go to That Old World Charm, everyone patron, and jump in. But gentlemen, we don't have as much time as we usually do for one of these guys. We've got to get it done in about an hour and 20 or less, which should be doable. But hot takes on Vampire Counts. Danny, what do you think about this book? And please feel free to not hold back.
I still feel like it's the best book in the game. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm over counting how amazing it is, but it seems like it really kind of fixes a lot of issue, like any kind of dice issue that you might have. There's some way around it with this army, that you either don't have to roll the dice, or your bonuses are so large that you, like, you're going to succeed at what you're trying to do. So that makes the army extremely reliable. And that's why I think it's the best army in the game. Some of the things, like, really, really powerful combination, like right off the bat, is the necromancers on mortise engines, and their auras stacking is incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm. Revolting, indeed. Absolutely messed up, man.
Yeah. And both their auras stack, I should say. Yeah. Not just one of them, both of them. So,
Peter, any hot takes to add on to that?
No, it's... I'm with Danny. I think it is... if it's not the best book, it's in the top three, but I think it's, like, it's marginally over a few other armies as the best book. It's very deep. Mortise engines aren't the only thing that's good in it. It has the best knights in the game, I think, by a decent margin. If only because you can bring them back to life, and you can bring back a lot of them in one go. It's got great core choices. Yeah. Every slot has something. Terrorgeists are fantastic. Wailing Dirge is a great rule. Like, there's a lot in this army. And a lot of the things that used to be kind of penalties, they gave, when it came to running undead, they've given you ways around them. Why would you say that most of your army cannot march and then give 90% of it reserve move? Yeah, but anyway, let's carry on into the book itself.
Let's get stuck in. And I do heartily agree with your hot takes, boys. This is one of the deepest books we have. It probably has the best magic phase in the game as it sits right now, or equal best with a couple of other possible contenders. And like you said, it has one of the biggest hammer units, has more recursion than I am comfortable with, and then doesn't feel like it pays a core tax because of that recursion as well. So let us get stuck in. We're going to be kicking it off naturally with the Grand Army composition list for the Vampire Counts. Danny, what is unique or spicy in this composition list, or what do people need to know?
So you've always got to take a wizard in your army. You can't have a magicalist army, which is fine because wizards are great in this army.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are no, like, required core choices.
Bullshit. I'm annoyed by this. This bothered me.
How about skeletons? I think I would be okay with that. Like, skeletons Or if your general is a Strigoi, like you could take ghouls. But like, yeah, there's a 0-1 unit of Grave Guard or Black Knights can be taken as core if you take any of the white characters. So that can eat up a huge portion of your core choices, either mostly I would say Grave Guard is what you should take. And then otherwise it's not really that limited. Like, there's some limits to like the amount of spirit host units you can take, but like those aren't even like the good choices. Like some of the more specialized units like Blood Knights and that kind of stuff are limited, but you're only going to take one unit anyway.
Because so expensive.
Two possible Blood Knight units at 2000 points is not a limit. That's just, you take as many as you wanted to take anyway. There is no limit. Right. You are not. And same as Terrorgeist, essentially 0-1 per 1000 points. That's not a restriction. Two is the magic number, or zero is the magic number. There's pretty much nothing between those two, unless you're chucking a character on one of them.
Right. And absolutely, you can take like three Terrorgeists if you want to.
Yep.
Yeah, you can.
Yep, yeah. It's a good list too, I think.
Yeah.
It's perfectly apt. It's not, I don't think it's the best list in Vampircants, but compared to everybody else, it's still pretty freaking good. Yeah. But you are absolutely correct. You can have a BSB here, be a Vampire Thrall or White Lord for 25 points, and they get the
like probably the most value BSB in the game other than Tomb Kings, which is the same value like that you're gonna get. So you're always taking a Battle Standard Bearer. Probably a White Lord and not a Vampire Thrall.
Well, for the White Lord unlocks the Graveguard, exactly right. And then if you want to just not take any other core, you can just take one big unit of Graveguard. You won't, because their redirectors are all in their core slots, the Vampire Bats and the Bat Swarms, the Dire Wolves, that kind of stuff. You want to take some of those. And zombies are too good. I'm so frustrated about how good zombies are. Like I said, the recursion just makes them good. Anyway, we're going to jump in from here to talking about the unit choices, and we're going to go quick and fast through these and skim over the ones we don't think you will see that often on the tabletop and spend a bit of extra time on the ones that you will. Petey Baby, take it away with the Vampire Counts and Thralls.
Yeah, so vampires, the Vampire Counts and Thralls, these are your big boys. To be honest, even though you can make a really solid vampire count, probably not going to see a lot of them at like a top table level of play, because Master Necromancers are very good. That said, like a vampire count on a dragon is just as deadly as any of the other super monsters out there. You know, vampire count, he's movement 6, he's weapon skill 7, he's got a ballistic skill of 5, strength 5, tough 5, initiative 6, leadership 8. He can be a wizard if you want to spend the points, either level 1 or level 2. There's a vampiric power that can make him a level 3 wizard.
Yep.
If you're a vampiric thrall, you can be a level 1 or take the vampiric power to be level 2. Mm-hmm. I don't see too many people going with the vampire thralls because the White Lord is just a better choice as a BSB. Yeah, the big thing here with vampires is they come base with a regeneration of 5+. They are undead, but they have dark vitality, so they can march. They have Indomitable 2, so they reduce that combat res by 2. And they're just really good. And you can make them stupid expensive with vampiric powers.
You really can. The Vampire Count stat line for 160 points is very respectable when compared to other Lord level characters. But you are just right. It is just so eclipsed by the Master Necromancer.
Built-in regen is also really nice. Like especially when you put him on a big mount. Even the little guy has that, which is kind of cool. So I like him for. Oh, never mind. Maybe the Coven Throne. It's probably a good choice for the Coven Throne. That is a BSB. Is probably the only way I'd play a Vampire Thrall.
Yep. Dan, do you want to tell us about what happens to the Vampire Counts when the General dies?
Yeah. So this is pretty similar to how it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. When your general dies, your army starts to crumble. And so at the end of that phase, and then at the start of each of your start of turn sub phases, you make a leadership test. For every point you fail it by, you take that many wounds. One thing to note here, though, is that vampires have a rule called dark vitality on a bunch of units. So those units don't have to make crumble tests.
And as you'll note, both the Vampire Lord and Hero we just mentioned are that. Next up, we have the Necromancers. Master Necromancer running 130 points for what you would expect. This toughness 4 with 3 wounds, 2 attacks, leadership 8. What makes this guy so good, Pete?
It's his mounts, man. The mortise engine is absolutely silly. I think we should just talk about it because it's thing that really makes this army terrifying to me. I'm less scared of a zombie dragon than I am of double or triple mortise engine. The mortise engine is a heavy chariot. It increases this master necromancer's and the regular necromancer's, the acolyte's wounds by 5. So they go up to either 7 or 8 wounds. Most chariots only give you a +4. It's toughness 5, strength 5. It's 195 points, but you also get 2 really incredible auras. You get while with Accursed Reliquary, which is while you're within the model's command range, all units with necromantic undead, which is the majority of the army, gain +1 to their movement and initiative. And this isn't like any of the other abilities in the game because it is stackable. So if you're running 3 mortise engines, which you can do, +3 to movement and initiative for all of the units within like a very large bubble, because your general, because it's a large target, is going to have 18 inches. Your 2 acolytes, if you're going with a triple, are going to have 7-inch bubbles. So you can like take up an entire chunk of the board with +3 movement, +3 initiative, undead. Top that off, you have the Blasphemous Tome, which is the other aura, and this is all wizards, friend or foe, get +1 modifier to their casting rolls while within this model's command range. However, if you are within this command range and you miscast, you roll twice on the chart and you take both results. So most of the very competitive lists I'm seeing with this are running double mortise engine. So they're getting +2 to all their casts. If you're running 2 master necromancers, it means they're already casting on 6s if they don't have any other arcane items to boost them even further. They're giving a +2 aura of movement and initiative to everything around them.
Yep.
And, you know, this thing has impact hits. It has fly. It has first charge. It has Wailing Dirge. So it's you're giving units leadership tests and they're taking wounds off of this. And necromancers just have so many awesome arcane and items that they can pick from, like the Sister of Noiro and a few others. It's just like it's a devastating thing to have in your back line. Plus, necromancers have the Arise ability, so they are raising undead at the same time. So they do this everything.
This is kind of, in my opinion, this is a problematic mechanic, mostly because Invocation of Nehek, which is the resurrection ability, was usually and always up until this point pretty much been a spell. So there is an ability to interact with it. There is essentially no way to interact with this, is there? They just take a leadership test and start resing dudes.
Unless you have like leadership modifiers on your army, which if you were in a very vampire deep meta, like maybe consider it. There's some really good leadership modifier items out there that don't see a lot of play right now that you might want to consider. Because it's a leadership test. Master necromancers are leadership 8, but their BSB is giving them a reroll.
Correct.
If they had the Scepter of Noiro, then they get to each, like that particular necromancer gets to res twice.
And this is one of my big issues with why I think vampire counts are just on just 11 out of 10 because they resurrect so freely, so well, and they're super incentivized to double and triple down upon it because it's so uninteractive. Is that safe to say, Danny?
I mean, so yeah, the counterplay to this though is that you get them in combat because they can't. Raise
they can, yeah.
Combat.
Yeah.
So, which is nice. Of course, you got to get there because there's going to be a wall of undead between you and them. So, especially for like this particular army, it's problematic. And like, there's a lot of ways to avoid being in combat, either with bunker units, like, or you can even put your necromancers just nestled up against the back of your skeleton units. Really, like, it's not like they're going to be able to target them very easily. Mm. So, or zombie units or whatever else. So, yeah, I mean, there's, yeah, it's a rule that is very good. I wish I secretly wish that you weren't able to use the BSB for the leadership reroll. I think that mm-hmm. would be a pretty fair change to the rule. It would definitely make it a lot less certain all the time.
Yeah, you'd be looking at what, like a 63-64% chance of getting it off with the Master Necromancers instead of basically having like a 90% chance every time.
Exactly. So. Yeah. All right. Next up, we have the Strigoi Ghoul Kings. These are 145 points for a pretty respectable stat line. Move 6, weapon skill 6, strength and toughness 5, 3 wounds, init 7, 5 attacks base. They are a level... They are a wizard. And they can be made to a level 2. Yeah, they can be made to a level 2. They've got some cool stuff. They've got Dark Vitality. They are flammable, though. They have hatred, all enemies, which is actually very hard to come by. Indomitable 1, Necromantic Undead, Poison Attacks, and Regeneration 5+. They have that built in as well. And then, of course, they have the Hunger. Each time they've done an Inflicted 1 YSA wounds, you can roll a D6. On a 6, you recover a single lost wound. So it's no matter how many wounds you've caused, you only roll one dice.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Kind of stinks that one dice is just a 6. And then the downside of that is you only roll a single dice on your pursuit roll because you're too busy feasting on their miserable corpses. Mm-hmm. This is more of a downside than an upside, in my opinion, because if you are, let's say you're in combat for half the game, you still only have a 50-50 to roll on the 3 dice that you'll roll if this guy did any wounds, a 50-50 to get one wound back. Who gives a crap? I would rather chase and run people down like everyone else does. So I actually think this is a downside, personally. How do you guys feel about him?
I think he's not your best option to run, but he's a combat monster, and you throw him on a Terrorgeist, you can give him the Blood Drinker sword, and he's like, for a model that's not going to have a lot of saves, he's still going to be very difficult to kill because he's going to be able to heal himself 2, 3, 4 wounds a turn. As long as he's doing any wounds to your opponent. And that's just something you have to consider. Like, he's going to constantly be topping himself up as the game goes on. Yeah, that's kind of where I see him. He's really great on a Terrorgeist to just be there and stick around.
Makes sense. Danny Boy, Cairnwraiths.
I love Cairnwraiths. They kind of upgraded these guys a little bit from their previous edition profile. They went to 3 wounds instead of 2, which is pretty nice. They're still only a 2 attack weapon skill 4 model with they have their own special scythe, which is a strength 3 scythe, but it's multiple wounds D3 and you don't get armor saves against it. They're ethereal, of course. And they have regen 6 up now as well, which is nice. For 50 points, it's totally not a bad package. It's just whether you have 50 points in your character selection to buy like these heroes.
Well, exactly right. And when I was first going through the vamps, I was like, man, I'd love like a couple of just 50 point terror causes. Just that. Just 50 points. Yep. 50 points to just slap terror down in my list on demand on a bunch of different flanks and stuff. I thought they were pretty cool. But yeah, I have not seen them kind of cracking some of the better lists. Anything we missed here, Peter?
No, I think that's it.
Take it away with whites then, my brother.
Whites. So these are your non-vampire combat units. White King and the White Lord. One's weapon skill 5. One's weapon skill 4. One's got strength 5. One's got toughness 4. You get the point here. White King has killing blow. He's got regeneration 5+, indomitable 1. White Lord keeps that killing blow, but only has a regen of 6+, and he loses indomitable. The White Lord can be your BSB, and as we mentioned before with the Vampiric Thrall, they get the Tomb King style BSB. For those listening, that means that models within their command range reroll any failed leadership test. On top of that, in addition, they reduce the number of wounds that you lose from the unstable special rule by D3. As long as they're in that command range. So BSBs for Tomb Kings and Vampire Counts, as mentioned, are like extremely important. Don't leave home without one.
Yeah, agreed.
The other cool thing about the whites is they unlock so many good things for this army, notably getting access to Graveguard as a core choice. But there are a number of magic items that are also white only that are quite good. And they can really buff these guys up, make them toughness 6, make them very difficult to kill or a lot more choppy than some of the other standard fare. And Beautiful. Killing blow for free is great.
Absolutely. Killing Blow went up a lot in viability this edition. It really did. Two matches up next, 90 points. Move 6, strength and toughness 3, only 2 wounds, but is ethereal 3 initiative and 1 attack. Ethereal, Indomitable 1, magic attacks, necromantic undead. 6 up, regeneration, terror, and wailing dirge. Danny, it's probably time that we explain wailing dirge. What does it do? Why is it good? And where's the best place to get it?
Yeah, so wailing dirge is basically a shooting attack with almost zero restrictions. Basically, unless you marched, you can use it. It's got an 8-inch range, and you can pick any enemy unit within 8 inches, including units that are engaged in combat and that you can draw line of sight to, or that you're engaged in combat, which is interesting because it seems strange that you wouldn't have line of sight to what you're in combat with. Anyway, but they have to make a leadership test at a -2 penalty. And then for every point that you fail the leadership test by, you take a wound with no armor save or regen save possible, just wards. And you get to ignore lone character targeting restrictions. You can just scream at people who are walking around by themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same as it ever was, really. And this can be found on Banshees, Terrorgeist, and the Mortis Engine. Does the Coven Throne have it as well?
No.
No.
Yeah, because it doesn't have Banshees.
Yep. So those are the three things that will do your screamy, screamy, nasty, nasty. Peter, tell us about the mounts. Apart from the ones we've already covered.
Yeah. So vampire counts and necromancers can take nightmares, which are strength 4 horses. Nothing really to say. They get first charge, get swift stride, counter charge. Their ace is barding, so free armor. Skeletal steeds are like the white version or the skeleton version. They still have barding. They still have swift stride. They don't have counter charge. Sucks to suck. we've already talked about the Mortis Engine. We've talked a little bit about the Zombie Dragon. The other options really are the Coven Throne and the Abyssal Terror. The Coven Throne is an option for vampire counts. I think it's amazing. It's 210 points, strength 5, toughness 5, plus 5 wounds for a heavy chariot. It's got dark vitality. It's got fly 8. Impact, it's d6 plus 1. You get an extra d6 random attacks from the Spirit Horde, and you get 4 attacks from the Pallid Handmaidens at strength 5, but they're all hand weapons.
Yeah.
Actually, the Horde does have lances. Yeah, so I should say those d6 is actually strength 5 AP2 on the chart, which is not
that's
bad.
Cute. That's cute.
But the main thing here is it has 2 abilities. One is Ghoulish Glamour, which is enemy units must take a leadership test before making any rolls to hit and during the combat phase. And if they fail it, they can only hit you on rolls of 6. And then Scrying Pool, which is a bound spell. That lets this model reroll and hit rolls of 1 if you get it off on a 9 plus, and it's a plus 2 to that. It's not bad. Like, rerolls are great, but it's situational rerolls because you're only getting it on a plus 2, so you have like a 50-50 shot of getting the spell off without four dispels. Ghoulish Glamour is interesting, especially because there is a vampiric power that mimics this. And so you could, if you wanted to be kind of cheeky, double up on that and then use your terror that you're going to have on this thing so that your opponent's at least a -1 to their leadership. And they have to make that test twice. And if they feel it either time, they're hitting you on 6s. So that's kind of cute, but hitting on 6s isn't that, that bad for a lot of units. Because like you only need to get a couple wounds through anyway, sometimes. Anyway, it's not my favorite thing. I don't think it's terrible by any means, but
I just don't understand the pricing of the Coven Throne when it is more expensive than the Mortis Engine, vastly worse than the Mortis Engine, and only 5 points cheaper than the Zombie Dragon, which is for a vampire is just, 100% better. An extra toughness, the same amount of wounds. It actually ruins things in combat and has all the special abilities and goodness therein, is much faster, is much harder to kill. And yeah, I just feel like it's the Coven Throne needs to go down in points. It's to be considered versus any of the other options, unless you're running very specific like leadership bomb army where you make a really durable Coven Throne, drive into your opponent's best unit, debuff them down to leadership six, and then they can't hit you unless they're on sixes and stuff. Just sit there all game. But then I feel like there's way more proactive ways to play vampire counts.
Exactly. I mean, the Coven Throne's way faster than the dragon, right?
Well, isn't it move six and the dragons fly 10?
Well, wait, am I tripping? Dragons fly 9 and can't march.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, maybe does he get Dark Vitality because the Vampire Lord has it? If that's the case, then I'm definitely wrong. So
I do not know.
Anyway.
So, yeah, fly 8 like, with Dark Vitality, so I can't march.
I agree that it's not an amazing choice. It is cool in a couple of situations, but like it's not good.
Hmm. Well, Danny, why don't you tell us about something that is good?
Oh, Dark Vitality does work on the mounts, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
You want me to talk about Graveguard?
I do.
Okay. Graveguard are a great unit. You should probably take them. They are 11 points a model. They have basically the same stat line as a Tomb Guard. So movement 4, weapon skill, ballistic skill 3 up, strength and toughness 4, 1 wound, initiative 3, 1 attack, leadership 7. They're 11 points a model. they come standard with heavy armor and shields, so you're already better than Tomb Guard. But you probably want to pay 1 point a model and just replace the shields with great weapons because that's an option that they have and great weapons are awesome. And vampires have tons of initiative modifiers, so it's not like they're not going to be striking at a good initiative. They have the cleaving blow special rule, so sixes to wound are no armor save for infantry or cavalry models. And they have close order, indomitable 1, necromantic undead, and regeneration 6 up. They have implacable defense, so they can buy that as an upgrade, which basically is shield wall, except they don't have to move at all. You can buy them drilled for 2 points a model, which is pretty interesting. Yep. And then they have standard 6-point command options, and they can buy a 50-point magic banner and 25 points of items on the champion's seneschal.
Now, if you watched our show last week, you will know that there with some of the internal balance changes to vampire counts, now taking just like en masse zombies to fill out your core isn't always the most intuitive or most enticing way to do it. And I do think that Graveguard, or just like one unit of 20 Graveguard with drilled and great weapons, is just an absolute banger to slap down in any list. And this unit, like with drilled, with great weapons, and with proper support, is just so, so strong when you realize you're paying core points for it. It's really quite ferocious. And comes with 2 saves, just like, all right, cool, 2 saves.
Yep.
Makes me sick.
There are several really amazing banners for these guys, whether you put them on a BSB or on them, so that they're always hitting on threes or that they get a bonus to their weapon skill. The other thing about Graveguard that should be noted is you should just run 40 of them. The thing about playing against the Mortis Engine list, which I've done a couple times, is you need to have a way to break through whatever's in front of the Mortis Engines unless you have amazing shooting. Breaking through 40 zombies is doable. Breaking through 40 Graveguard is much less doable. If you have 30 or 40 Graveguard, like I wouldn't stop at 20. I would probably at least go to 30 because there's just not a lot of stuff in the game that's going to be able to kill all of them in one turn. And you basically that's what time you have sometimes in these games, unless, you know, the dice gods betray your opponent, which does happen, but not when I play. So you got to work for them otherwise. So.
All right, next up is Skeleton Warriors. Fantastic 90s cartoon and toy range. Thank you very much. They come at 5 points a pop. They are your basic line infantry movement 4, but they do have the reserve move, Necromantic Undead reserve move. They have Horde, Close Order, Strength and Toughness 3, Initiative 2, 1 attack, Hand Weapons, Light Armor, and Shields. Can take Thrusting Spears. Can, of course, take Full Command and a Magic Banner up to 50 points. They are your Void Fill, and I think they are unfortunately vastly eclipsed by zombies up next, who are pretty much half the points. 3 points per model, movement 4, weapon skill 2, strength and toughness 3. Who gives a crap? That's not what they're here for. They're here to die and come back and die again with special rules caused Closed Order Horde, Necromantic Undead, Regeneration 6+, and the Newly Dead. And of course, you can take a standard and a musician if you really, really, really want to. I don't know. Shit. But zombies are the absolute premium tar pit in the game as it stands right now. Is there any contender to the zombie mantle of tar pit premier?
Maybe like a, but like the, for the points, no, right? Like I think swarms are really good for their points for like a very similar thing, but like I think zombies take the cake for being the best tar pit.
Yeah, with Skaven slaves or Skaven just in a rough spot. Zombies are just absolutely crazy. Units of 40 were an absolute mainstay, and I think big units like that will maintain. I don't really know what the premium unit size will be at post FAQ. Could be that it's 25 or 30 now, and then you just resin up to 40, or you just keep resin new units here, there, and everywhere because it's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, because the big thing we didn't mention is zombies have the newly dead special rule, which lets you resurrect models in that unit up above whatever their starting size was, but it cannot go over, based on the new FAQ, what their maximum unit size is, which is 40 in the in the book. So yeah, like 25 or 30 zombies is probably the way you go. You take two or three units of those, and then I mean, if you go first, you just res all of your units up to 40, and you've got just that many extra bodies on the board you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pretty good.
And when we talk about the the exchange in play, you playing against your opponent, it's you exchanging and who's trying to wrestle control of the game back and forth. The fact is that you have access to illusion in this army, and you have access to one of the best magic phase buffed, souped up magic phases in the game. And so your ability to say that doesn't charge, that's going to get a crystal pillar inside of it, in front of it, so we can't charge either. And then over here, I'm just going to res nonsense roadblocks. The amount of control, they just have an extra facet of control above and beyond what everyone else can do and expend upon their opponents. So yeah, the newly dead is a ridiculous rule. Danny, Crypt Ghouls and Crypt Horrors, smack them together. Give us a lowdown.
Yeah, sure. So Crypt Ghouls are a little bit faster than normal infantry at movement 5. They also have their weapon skill, ballistic skill, and strength 3, toughness 4, which is nice. They have 2 base attacks, which is also cool for 9 points a model. They have the move through cover, necromantic undead. They have open order and skirmishers. They have poison attacks, regen 6+, and reserve move. Or you can take their bigger brothers, the Crypt Horrors, which are monstrous infantry. movement 6, weapon skill 3, strength 4, toughness 5, 3 wounds, 2 attacks, initiative 2, 3 attacks. At 46 points a model, that is a lot. They have Indomitable 1, move through cover, they're necromantic undead, they're open order, which is a bummer for monstrous infantry, I think, actually. 6 up, and they have 1 stomp attack, which is nice. And then their close combat attack is AP -1, and it gives them poison. Both units that are kind of supposed to be heavy hitters not heavy hitters, but they're supposed to be the hitters of like the undead infantry or monstrous infantry, right? Cryptor has lost a lot of their durability from previous versions. Toughness 5 is nice, but 6 up regen is not good, and they don't have an armor save, and neither do Crypt Ghouls. Crypt Ghouls are still a great little skirmishing unit for their points, I think, especially with reserve move and skirmishers and regen 6 and a bunch of attacks with poison.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Crypt Ghouls.
Me too.
If like going back to the beginning of the show where you asked me what was a bad unit in this army, I really think Crypt Horrors are probably the worst unit.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Well, because of the 46 point cost, if they were like a 35 or a 40, they'd be fine, but they don't match up to most other monstrous infantry in the game. So
they really don't. They cost way too many points for what they provide. They could have a fourth attack. The fact that like a Crypt Ghoul at 9 points with a poison attack, or a Crypt Horror with 46 points for one more attack, one more poison attack, to one more strength. It's just so funny. 3 ghouls in a trench coat, like eclipse a horror and 11 points cheaper. It's twice as many attacks. It's kind of tragic. They need like a 5-up regen instead of a 6-up. They need another attack, or they just need to come down a bunch of points. They're not right where they are. Bat Swarms. Literally, I just said everything you need to know about them in the name. They're 2 wounds. They're 5 wounds of toughness 2, 39 points. They are a swarm. If you are playing an army or into a meta where swarms are good, bat swarms are totally fine. Redirectors, chaffers, they're really good. Move 7 with necromantic undead and skirmishers, and they will jump around pretty nicely. They're not going to kill anything at all. Come in a unit of 3 on 40 mil bases. Vargeists, let's go, Peter, if you want to take it.
Fire guys. So this is the monstrous infantry that you wish other people, that you wish the crypt ghouls were. Movement 6, weapon skill 4, strength 5, toughness 4. They do fly 9. They have frenzy with 3 attacks. 61 points is a lot for something with only a 6 plus regeneration save. But if you get it into combat, man, does it hit hard.
Do they slap?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, 4 attacks each. They're armor bane 2 on those attacks. They've got, you know, they still have the regen. And on top of the armor bane, they're AP 2.
Yeah.
And they're skirmishers. And I love a fly. Like, my favorite thing in the game is flying skirmishers with like 360 vision. Because they just mow things down. 60 points is a lot. And I think if you looked at Pegasus Knights and looked at these guys, you'd be a little sad. But yeah, they slap. They kill things real fast, real hard.
Dark Vitality in move 9 is very nice as well. They're just gonna get straight to a flank. If I was considering them, I wouldn't go too hard on the points. It's probably unit of 3 for the sergeant upgrade. And then it's literally just slap them on a flank and just make them a problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Do that.
Felbats. Enough said. Nah, movement 10. Richard Racer 6 plus. Skirmishes and Swift Stride with move 10 Swift Stride. They are absolutely getting around. The unit of 3 plus, 15 points apiece. Strength and toughness 3, 2 wounds and 2 attacks. I mean, the Felbats have dropped off in my estimation quite a bit, mostly because the ability to just res new units in front of people is just possibly just more better than just paying points for Felbats. Why pay points for Felbats when I can just res zombies that do virtually the same thing? Because there's not as many war machines for them to go hunt anymore, which was their best thing. The best thing was they would just yeet 20 inches straight to your opponent's war machines and they have one turn to shut them down before you shut down their war machines. With that, those in the meta, the Felbats have dropped off a little bit for me. I think they're still a totally fine unit. 45 points to get you 3 Felbats, they're totally fine. But they're not what they used to be, which used to be, for me, were one of the better chaffers and shutdown units in the game. Danny, Spirit Hosts.
What do you think about taking a unit of like 15 of them?
I was about to say, if you're going to do it, get dumb. Let's go. Let's do it. Put some points into them, make them resable, make them buffable, because, man, Fly 10 is Swift Stride is hilarious. Like, it is just funny as hell.
And it's often like Fly 12 because of the Mortis Engines.
Correct. Correct. If you wanted just like a huge, like one, like Linehammer screen in front of your army, like one unit of like 15 Felbats just in a single row, just with just knights and nonsense behind it, could be pretty hilarious.
I actually love that idea. That sounds amazing.
I hate it as well. It's
so right, Spirit Hosts are another ethereal unit. They're 49 points a model, movement 6, weapon skill 3, strength and toughness 3, 4 wounds, 1 attack, 1 initiative, 4 attacks, and leadership 4. They have hand weapons, but they are magic. They have their open order, regen 6 up. They also have reserve move, which is quite nice. They have the bound spirits rule, which is unlike other swarms. This unit is not subject to the undisciplined rule. In other words, they can use inspiring presence and hold your ground from a battle standard bearer, which is nice. So it's a bunch of ethereal wounds. I don't know if it's worth like, let's see, they're 4 wounds and 49 points. It's like 13 points an ethereal wound. I don't know if I love that. But they seem fine, like they always were. You can take a unit of 3 for 150 points. That's pretty good.
Are you going to well actually him, Peter?
I did. 16.6. Yeah.
Sorry, my bad.
You are the winner. You are the old world.
16.3 repeating wounds. But man, I think it's okay.
Yeah, they're arguably okay.
I think this is a good unit in other books.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Peter, you have the next one. And I did do this on purpose.
Yeah, Blood Knights. This is the bullshit unit. So to give some insight, when I, as like someone with an NDA, I got the Vampire book like a couple months before it was released. And I was being asked a lot of questions about it. And I didn't give a shit because I don't own Vampire counts. So I was just like, whatever, guys, it's probably bad. And I kind of skimmed through it and I was like, this just looks like Tomb Kings, but it doesn't have all this other stuff until I read Blood Knights. And then I was like, holy crap, never mind. This book is dumb because this unit exists. And then when I read Mortis Engines, I was like, never mind. This book is busted as I'll get out. But Blood Knights, what if you could take Chosen Knights and bring them back to life in perpetuity. That's Blood Knights. They are a movement 7, heavy cavalry. They are weapon skill 5. They're strength 4. They're toughness 4. They've got 2 attacks base each. They're base initiative 4. They come stock with heavy armor and shields, but you can upgrade them to full plate, which you're going to do. Absolutely. Because they have barding. So now you have a unit that has a 2+ armor. They come stock with a 6+ regen. They have a cursed weapon weapons, which means their non-lances, their hand weapons are AP1 and magical attacks, just like Chosen Chaos Knight is. They have countercharge. They have close order. They have first charge. They're indomitable 1. They have martial pride, which we'll get into in a second. They're crazy. You can pay to give them drilled, which...
Drilled. Yeah.
I don't even know if you bother, but it's there. Like, it's an upgrade. Like, they're already,
you for sure do.
They're like, they're so expensive already, but like, they're so good. You take 9 of them, you give them the regen banner. So now they've got a 2+ armor, 5+ regen, and you have the opportunity to res, you know, 8 of them a turn. So even if you get down to 1 guy, you can res the entire unit back to full because of how Invocation of Nehek works on heavy cavalry. Martial Pride, by the way, is just that they have to accept challenges, and that all of them can issue and accept challenges in the same manner as a character. It's just like, it's a crazy unit, and you can only choose to ignore it or kill it outright in a turn. You don't really have a secondary option.
The only thing even remotely holding this unit back is Martial Pride. Like, the only thing you can even argue is a downside is the fact that you can go into this unit with a super character or just a very durable character, and they just keep challenging out dudes one at a time. And they'll res them up and you will never kill them, but they may never get through you either. Like, things like the Peg Lord with the great triple save and go straight into this and just be like, I'm going to kill exactly one dude and take no wounds. And this is the game for us. This is the next 6 freaking turns of the game. But I sacrificed one of my best units to hold out one of your best units. And that's literally the best you can hope for in a lot of matchups versus this thing. It is as close as we've got to a Death Star in the game. I didn't even think you add any characters to this, actually.
It doesn't need it.
I'm not even sure you bother. I think you're better off putting him in Graveguard. Like, it's revolting. Yeah.
No, there's no reason. You just take like 9 of them with one of the special banners, probably the regen banner. You just live your best life.
It is your best life. All right, Black Knights is up next. 24 points a model. Movement 7, whip skill 3, strength and toughness 4. 1 wound, an ish 3, 1 attack. This is a very, very, very bland, vanilla, stock standard cavalry model for every unit. Cleaving Blow is nice for the Black Knights and the Hell Knight only. So, and then Close Order, First Charge, Necromantic Undead, and Regeneration. 6+ Swift Stride is a very respectable, just fine cavalry unit. Entirely and utterly overshadowed by the Blood Knights, and that is the issue. I think if the Blood Knights were much worse, maybe Black Knights get a look in, but as it sits right now, there ain't nothing there. Of course, you can take lances and barding on them, and if you're doing it, you probably are, right? At least you're taking the lances. You guys got any thoughts on Black Knights?
I like Black Knights okay. I think they're good. I think they're fine for their points. I mean, they're strength 6 on the charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's lots of ways to buff their weapon skill to above 3. I think they're a cool unit. They can also be core. So if you don't want to take Graveguard, I think Black Knights is a good like runner up. I don't think it's as good as Graveguard, but it's at least like you have another choice that you can do.
Yeah, like if you're looking to make a move fast and hit hard list instead of a castle kind of bunker list, which is the way undead usually play, it's very respectable to like take a unit of Black Knights. You could put your BSB in them instead, give them the reserve move banner so that they're moving like regular knights. And then you've got like a second hammer unit to go behind your Blood Knights and clean things up. I don't think it's a terrible idea at all. It's probably like if you're playing fair Warhammer, a really good vampire list for fair Warhammer. But like that's about it.
Fair. Danny, take it away. They could tell us about the direwolves.
Oh, a unit near and dear to my heart. Anything that's a dog is something I'm definitely going to throw in the way of some bus to help them help me not die.
I love that we refuse to watch films where the dog is hurt in any way, and then immediately any dog-shaped creature in the old world just goes straight under the bus. It's fantastic.
So they're these guys are like chaff. They're 8 points a model. You get movement 9, toughness 3. That's what's really important there. They don't have an armor save. That's fine. They're also dead. So that's cool. They get +1 strength on the turn they charge. And they have open order, reserve move, swift stride, and vanguard for 8 points.
That's pretty good for 8 points.
Quite the package.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, moving 27 inches turn one with your 40-point chaff unit's probably okay.
It sounds like it might be okay. Peter, Hex Wraiths.
I really like these guys. They're 31 point light cav. You can take them in size of 5 to 10. They have great weapons. They're strength 3 base, so they'll be strength 5, toughness 3, one attack each. They're ethereal. That's what I love about them. They have flaming attacks, which if trolls ever become a scary thing, look at you. They fly 8. That doesn't seem terrible. Their attacks are also magical. They have regen 6+. They have swift stride. They have terror. They're open order, and they have spectral reapers, which is basically they can do a flyby. And when they fly over an enemy unit, they can do a strength 4 hit for each model in the unit against the enemy unit with no armor saves permitted, with flaming attacks and magical attack special rules. I believe the only negative with Hex Wraiths is you basically have to pick whether you're going to take them or Blood Knights.
That's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair.
So it's which one do you want to do?
I do still think that the ethereal skew is an option out there for people. I just don't think it's the best one. I think it's totally respectable though. All right, we've already covered the Coven Throne, which is up next. Then we have the Mortis Engine, which here we have again already covered. So I'm doing the Corpse Cart. Comes in at 115 points. For 4 toughness, 4 wounds with a 4+ armor save. Everyone's just got hand weapons. You have 1 corpse master, yes, and then you have 2d6 just zombie attacks. It comes as a level 1 wizard, which can, I believe, be... No, it cannot be upgraded for level 2. I thought it could for some reason. You can have a whip or a cavalry spear on the corpse master. Or you have the baleful brazier or the warped titaminibobone. That one.
Tintinabulation.
Close order, dark vitality, first charge. Impact hits D3 +1, indomitable 1, as lore of undeath and necromantic undead. Random attacks, of course, and regeneration 6+. It is a heavy chariot, sorry. So its impact hits are decent, even though there's only D3 +1 of them. The brazier gives you a debuff to enemy wizards within 15 inches and must decrease their casting values by 1. And then the warped tinnabulation is when a friendly unit is in 15 of this model, when they recover a number of lost wounds due to a character using invocation of Nehek, roll a d6 on a 4+, the unit recovers an additional wound. In addition, friendly units within 15 of this model reduce the number of wounds lost due to the unstable rule by 1. Whilst the Corpse Guard is still one of my most favoritest of minis and one of the best undead miniatures that they've ever done, I don't see the value. I don't see what it offers really, especially seeing as the warped tinnabulation only occurs on a 4+ as well.
So here's my argument for why this is fine. You often are running at least 2 necromancers, if not like 4 in your list. And with Scepter of Nuaro, it means you're using Invocation of Nehek, 4 to 5 times a turn. So that extra wound starts to add up, especially on your big guys like your Mortis Engines, because you can heal yourself with Invocation of Nehek. You're only healing 1 wound a turn, but this makes it 2. Which is quite good. And the reducing wounds by 1 on unstable is something that shouldn't be underestimated either. Especially if you played a lot of Tomb Kings and you see them do that to you over and over again, it adds up fast. So
and this also stacks with Indomitable as well.
Yeah. So between a BSB and this and Indomitable, all of a sudden these units that you're winning combat res by like 5 against are losing 0 models. and that can get real bad.
That makes me sick.
Also,
why'd you have to?
Also, it stacks.
Why'd you have to make a good beta?
It does stack though. Like you can run multiple of these if you wanted to. I don't think that's good per se, but like it's a thing you could do if you wanted to really sit around and just be like, here's all of my guys in a line with all my good necromancers behind them.
It's 100.
Oh, go ahead.
It's 130 with the tenabulation. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can't exactly spam these guys out and not lose a bunch of your army composition.
Yeah.
This is a good way to get extra wizards outside of your hero allotment as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
And they do get the +1 to cast from the Mortis engines. Mm-hmm. And they do have Lore of Undeath, so they can get the signature spell if you want to, if you don't like what you roll on necromancy. So you can always like kind of have them just casting Raise Dead. Which is, and they have 360 sight for that, right?
Yep.
So that's pretty good.
Brutal. All right, Danny, sticking with you, tell us about the Black Coach.
Oh, the Black Coach. I wonder if it could actually fit on the 50 by 100 millimeter base if you want to use the AOS model. I don't really think so.
Pointing straight up, maybe.
Yeah, it's like a rocket ship. Yeah, have it do a realistic jump. Anyway, so it's 205 points. It's a heavy chariot. It's strength 5, toughness 6 with 4 wounds. The Wraith on top has 2 attacks at strength 3. And then there are 2 nightmares as well. The Wraith has a spectral scythe, which is worse than the scythe that's in the that the other Wraith has, because it doesn't have multiple wounds D3. It just has strength as user, magic attacks, no armor save for some reason. Anyway, the Black Coach's special rule is it has the special coach rule, which lets it during your command phase, you can choose to be incorporeal, which means that you get ethereal and fly 10, or you can have it stay corporeal and its impact hits D6+2, which is great. So D6+2, strength 5, minus 2 impact hits because it's heavy is great. It's got magic attacks as a special rule. It's 6 up regen, 3 up armor. And it has the terror special rule as well, which is the other important thing. Do I think it's worth 200 points in every other army? Yeah, probably. But it's hard to justify that, especially because it's coming out of your rare section.
Yeah.
Just doesn't quite do enough for me.
Well, mainly because now you can't take Blood Knights.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
Or you can take like 3 Blood Knights and that don't do that.
Yeah, agreed. Zombie Dragon is up next. We've mostly told you about the Zombie Dragon. His weapon skill, fly 9, weapon skill 4, strength 6, +1 wound to whatever is on top of it. Plus 5 wounds, +1 toughness, rather. 5 attacks at strength user, -2. Then it has its breath weapon at strength 2, but AP 3. So the breath weapon can be pretty spicy if you just roll high. 215 points gets you the package. And any unit who doesn't come up with this model silver -1 modifier to their initiative comes with the special rules of Carrion Feeders, which is the one I just read out. Close order, fly 9, like I said, large target, necromantic undead, stomp, D6, swift stride, and terror. Is a perfectly serviceable big beastie akin to many others. It's not any better, it's not any worse, as far as I can tell.
It sure is a dragon.
It sure is indeed a dragon. Danny, Terrorgeist. We've virtually done this as well, but just
keep sure. Yes, he's strength 5, toughness 6, 6 wounds. He's got 4 attacks. He's 205 points, so same cost as the dragon. Oh no, 10 points cheaper. I'm sorry.
10 points cheaper, yeah.
Yep. He's got 4 attacks, AP -1, strength user with armor bane and poison, which is like fine. He's also got light armor and regen 6 up. No, 5 up. 5 up is nice. That's pretty cool. Close order, fly 9, indomitable 1, infested. We'll get to that in a moment. Large target, necromantic undead, regen 5 up, D6 stomps, swift stride, terror, and he's got wailing dirge, which is amazing. He also has a rancid maw attack, and you get 1 attack at strength user, armor bane 1, multiple wounds 2 when he bites you. And then Wailing Dirge, of course, is a great rule. Pretty quick. I think he's fine for 205 points.
Yeah, actively fine. In straight comparison between the Zombie Dragon and the Terrorgeist, I like the Terrorgeist better. Better regen, and the Dirge is just ridiculous. You're telling me, okay, we have virtually the same thing here. The Zombie Dragon's a little bit better in combat, but one of these has a better save and a whole nother attack sequence.
So the thing about the zombie dragon is it's always going to be ridden by a vampire lord, and he has 5-up regen base. So the difference with this one is the Terrorgeist is not flammable.
Whereas the Terrorgeist is not flammable.
Correct.
Fascinating. Good to know.
That's weird. Right. Now, is the Ghoul King flammable?
It's a good question.
Whilst you're doing that, I'm going to tell you about the Abyssal Terror. 120 points for the Abyssal Terror. Move 6, but it doesn't matter about that because it's Fly 9. Weapon Skill 4, Strength 5, plus 1 Toughness added to the bearer, to the wielder, and plus 4 Wounds. Initiative 2 and Attacks 3. Comes with Scaly Skin, which counts as Heavy Armor. Comes with Poisonous Tail, Weapon Claws. Close Order, Large Target, Necromantic Undead, of course. Stomp Attacks D3, Swift Stride, Terror. In combat, it is Strength User Neg 2 with, of course, 3 attacks. And then has a Poisonous Tail attack, which is Strength User, Poison, and Strikes First. We can make one of these. It is relatively meh.
I actually like it better than the Zombie Dragon, like as a straight
Dead set. There you go. But it is a lot cheaper. It is a lot cheaper.
It's and like half
most, minutes. Most of the most of the oomph is coming from the Vamp Lord, right? So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, you don't get AP on your stomp attacks because it's a monstrous creature.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Wyverns are good.
Yeah.
And we see Black Orcs on Wyverns. This is a Wyvern that's 10 less points, probably because of the Necromantic Undead. That's really what the difference between them. Because I think they're exactly the same in every other way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Wow.
And yeah, Wyverns are strength 6, actually.
Yeah.
Well, Wyverns are strength 6. They're strength 5. I guess there's that. But plus 1 wound, so it's plus 1 toughness. So with your Vamp, you're going to be still toughness 6. Plus 4 wounds. So you're going to be between 7 and 8 wounds if you take the plus 1 wound vampiric power. Anyway.
Yeah, you brought me around, guys. I rate do right now.
I like them both. I think they both have their purpose.
All right, we have one left, Peter. Vargulf.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. It's now only okay. So Vargulf is 140 points. So he's an expensive boy. He's movement 8. He's got weapon skill 5, strength 5, toughness 5, 4 wounds, 4 initiative, 4 attacks, 4 leadership. You can only ever take one of them at a time. He's got a 6 plus armor. He's got a 5 up regen. His close order, counter charge, which is awesome. Dark vitality, cool, flammable, get out of here. Frenzy, okay. Indomitable 1, sure. Swift side, terror, and bestial fury, which is that you cannot, your enemy units cannot claim any bonus combat result points for being engaged with this model's flank or rear arc because he's crazy, just eating everybody. His attacks are always at AP 2. It's okay.
If he had stomps or hatred, I'd be on board.
Same. He needs a stomp. He needs like at least a D3 stomp or something. It's a little bit too, a little bit not enough for 140.
A little bit not enough for 140 points.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Moving on to the vampiric powers, first of which is Curse of the Revenant, 50 points. And of course, these are the special spicy things you can add onto your characters. This vampire has plus 1 wound. 50 points, plus 1 wound. Perfectly fine. I think that's better for the points.
Yeah, it's really good. I'd take this if I were on a dragon for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Danny, staying with you.
All right, so we got Beguile. This is 40 points. This is what we talked about with the Coven Throne. You have to make a leadership test before making any to hit rolls against the vampire in the combat phase. If your test has failed, only 6s hit.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. Petey, baby.
Flying Hoarder, 35 points. The vampire is able to take to the sky great membranous wings, or perhaps could even metamorphose into a monstrous bat. Model whose troop type is infantry only. This vampire gains fly 10, but cannot join a unit. It's your magic carpet for magic carpet. 5 less points.
Yep, but that means you can have 2?
You can go double flying carpet if you want.
Yeah, just live out all your Aladdin dreams. Dark Acolyte is up next for 30 points. The vampire gains the invocation of Nehek special rule as described in page 5. For the purposes of using this special rule, the model counts as a level 1 wizard. So even if you are a level 2, it does not matter. You only count as a level 1, correct? Which means you would not spend the points to upgrade it to level 2. But 30 points can actually be good. You can just be overwhelmingly invocating of Nehek and just double and triple down. It's actively fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is that's fine for 30 points. I don't mind. I would yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, me too. Danny, off you go.
Master of the Black Arcs. We got another 30-point vampiric power here, Adam. This basically lets you, if you're level 2 and you're a vampire count, or you're a vampire thrall that's level 1, you get plus 1 level. But you have to buy that first. You can't buy this and not buy the wizard level. But I'm not sure why you would do that, but yeah, anyway.
So you can get a level 3 or a level 2.
Exactly.
Out of your level 2 or level 1.
Yeah.
Pretty respectable. 30 points. It is the going rate for a wizard level. I think it's totally fine.
Mm-hmm. Love Peter. It.
Supernatural horror, 20 points. This vampire is hideous to look upon, having long since forsaken the trappings of nobility and beauty and embraced the beast within. Gains terror.
Sweet. Last one, Lord of the Night, 15 points. Lord of the Night. During the command subphase of this turn, this vampire may attempt to resurrect fallen creatures of the night by taking a leadership test using their own leadership. If this test is passed, a single friendly unit of fell bats, bat swarms, or direwolves that is in 12 of this model recovers D6 lost wounds. If you really love your chaff, if you're just the chaff god, this one should just be called chaff god, like rap god, for 15 points, because that's all you're going to be adding back to your army. 15 points, though, it's kind of cute, but not worth. As for what is worth here, boys, because none of these set me on fire, but there is a very good like band of this is kind of decent in here. There's nothing blowing my mind though.
Yeah,
they're all fine. I do like flying horror as an option because it doesn't use up your magic item slot, so you can make a pretty like hefty vampire lord that's kind of built for close combat. Kind of run him as like a demon prince almost, a cheaper demon prince, and have him fly around chopping things up. Don't make him your general. I would recommend you don't do that if this is what you're going for. But he can go kill chaff. He can take out elite units. Give him the sword of kings or whatever, and he's just killing everything. Like I think there's an option there for a pretty cool flying
make him a cool king.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, that's a great idea, Danny.
Does he get hatred?
My idea was to make the cheapest, most durable character you can possibly do and ram it into other people's blood knights and just be like, here is my dickhead with fly 10 and dark vitality, and he's just going to yeet 20 inches at you and just stop your blood knights in the mirror match. And for 35 points, yeah, boy. Do it
in the perfect meta, only vampires.
The only vampires,
the thing we always wanted.
All right, we're on to the magic items, first of which is the Frost Blade for 60 points. Better be good. Strength user, AP nothing, killing blow, magical attacks. So far, not good. Any models that suffer one or more unsaved wounds from the Frost Blade must immediately take a toughness test. If this test is failed, they gain the strike's last special rule and must reduce their initiative characteristic to 1 for the remainder of the game. For 60 points, no. Take the ogre blade. Take the giant blade. I'm not wrong, am I? I'm not tripping.
You're not wrong.
This seems awful.
Dude, the thing that's the weapon that's like one down is infinitely better than this weapon. Dude,
yeah, it's 5
for 5 less points.
Yeah. Tell us about it, Peter. Go for it.
The Sword of Kings is the cursed blade of ancient and ageless design, thirsts constantly for the souls of its wielder's enemies.
All right, so that one got me, Peter. Just so you know, whatever voice that was got me, okay?
I started with my Bane voice and then I upped it an octave. But anyway, or 3. So the Sword of Kings, it's a strength plus 1 sword, AP minus 1. It's got killing blow and magical attacks. But the note is the wielder of the Sword of Kings strikes a killing blow on a 5 or a 6 instead of just a 6 on the roll to wound. So this thing is great. You can run it on your Master Necromancer if you want to go Spectral Doppelganger on some people. I've had that done to me more than once now. You can put this on your Strigoi Ghoul King or on your Vamp Lord and have them fly around chopping stuff up. These are a good weapon for 55 points. I like it. Aces, do it.
Can you talk about the Mortise Engine guy?
Yeah, the Mortise Engine guy, it sucks when you end up in combat with him and he has this. I hate it.
Yeah, with Illusion and Doppelganger, this is unreal. Yeah.
Blood Drinker, Danny.
So Blood Drinker is a 45-point magic weapon. It's a strength user, AP minus one, magic attack special rules. However, if the wielder of Blood Drinker causes one or more unsaved wounds during the combat phase, they may recover a single lost wound. Very good. For 45 points, this is a great item.
I think this is great. I think, like you said before, you mentioned this being on the Ghoul King on a Terror Geist, and I think that you're absolutely correct. That's legit. Slaps, dude. Really good. Because, you're leveraging the fact that you're just going to scream at people anyway. Who cares? Yeah. Dreadlance is 40 points. Combat range, strength plus 2, AP 2, armor bane 1, magical attacks models whose troop dice is cavalry or monster only. The Dreadlance can only be used during a turn in which the wielder charged. In subsequent turns, of course, it's the same as any other lance. The wielder of the Dreadlance may re-roll any failed rolls to hit made while using it.
Yes.
Strength plus 2, AP 2, armor bane 1, magical attacks. You're paying 40 points for a little bit of goodness, pretty much hatred on the first round of combat. So it is hatred. Yep. But 40 points a bit steep.
Yeah, you're paying 40 points for magical attacks and hatred. It might be worth it, but I think if you really, this is what you're trying to do, just take a paymaster's coin for the once per game doing it.
And, agreed.
And then save the 15 points.
Yep. Keep it going, Petey.
Okay, we're at magic armor now. So we have the Flayed Hauberk.
You'll get there.
From the flesh of countless victims, the wearer of the Flayed Hauberk is enshrouded and protected by the souls of the damned. It's a suit of heavy armor that can be worn by a wizard without penalty, and it gives them a 6+ ward save against any wound suffered for 35 points. It's cute. I like it. If you have 35 points and you're like, man, I'm really scared about this necromancer dying, give him this. Otherwise, don't. Just put him on a Mortise Engine.
Yep, agreed. Danny.
Oh, boy. We have the Accursed Armor.
Oh, boy.
It's 30 points. It can only be used by models who are infantry or cavalry. It's a suit of full plate. That's nice. In addition, it gives the wearer +1 modifier to their toughness characteristic, but a -1 modifier to their weapon skill and initiative characteristics to a minimum of 1. This is a great armor to put on a white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it makes him toughness 6 and full plate. So that's great.
What, 2+ armor, toughness 6? Yikes.
Yep. Yeah.
That is tougher than some monsters in the game, like some behemoths.
Yeah.
Yep.
30 points. It's a banger. All right. Talismans. The Von Karstein Ring. They do exist. 40 points. Vampire only single use. When the wearer of the Von Karstein Ring loses their last wound, roll a d6 on a 2+. That wound is not lost. So your last wound is auto-saved on a 2+. Doesn't mean you don't keep taking saves or whatever, but yeah, this is not worth it. Peter.
Well, yeah, it's not. It's a single use.
It's single use, yeah.
So if it wasn't single use, take it every day, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway. Crown of the Damned for 35 points. The wearer of the Crown of the Damned draws revitalizing energies from the spirits imprisoned within it, but at times their eternal wailing can become overpowering. The Crown of the Damned gives its wearer a 4+ ward save against wounds suffered. However, due to the wailing of the spirits trapped within the crown, it gives them stupidity as well.
Oof. Now, we all know how bad being stupid is.
I mean, it's a leadership 8 army, so it's not the best. That said, given a 4+ ward save for 35 points to, you know, a vampire on a dragon, is you're effectively doubling your wounds, right? So what are you going for, I guess? Are you going to try to be aggressive and hope for the best and let the dice gods, have their way with you? Or are you going to live a paltry life?
I am 100% on the other side of this. I think this item should get taken every game.
No, I mean, I'm agreeing. Yeah. I think it's good.
Oh, okay.
Like I'm saying, like live your best life, do it, but beware because it's leadership 8 army.
I'm gonna put it on my mortis engine.
Don't do that.
Revolting.
Why? It's like stupidity doesn't do anything to it, really, except I don't. I still get to scream, right?
Yep.
Like I think you do.
Yep,
and cast.
You are correct. It has no downsides. It's effed up. And now we get into what I think is the best section of this book, the magical standards. But Danny, you're up next.
Okay. We've got an oldie but a goodie, the Manor of the Barrows. 65 points. White Lord, Battle Standard Bearer only. During the combat phase, when a unit carrying the Banner of the Barrows makes it to hit roll, a hit roll of 3+ is always a success, regardless of the target's weapon skill.
Busted.
It's a really good banner for 65 points. Like if you're going to take like a big block of Graveguard and you're going to take a BSB anyway in them, I think that that's a very strong choice.
Yeah. I think it's extremely good. 40 Graveguard with a White King, maybe even another hero in there. They're always hitting on threes. Cause it confers to the other. Does it confer to the other characters in the unit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It confers to everyone in the unit. So you can Death Star this up if you want and just play like the worst weapon skill nonsense. In fact, where's the one that has the accursed armor? Yeah. Who gives a crap that you took a -1 to your weapon skill modifier? You're in a unit that always hits on threes. Whoop-de-doo. Does not matter. So there are some undoing of combos here. And man, having a great weapon squad that, you know, virtually always wounds on threes or better and hits on threes. I like that is terrifying, actually terrifying. Yeah. Drakenhof banner's up next for 50 points. If a unit carrying the Drakenhof banner has a regeneration special rule, improve the armor value of its regeneration save by 1. So it takes anything from a 6 up to a 5 up. Are there any 5 ups you can take to a 4 up? And if there are, can we please get those fixed on immediately characters. And or banned?
The characters. Characters that have joined that unit would go to a 4 plus.
Makes me sick to my butt. Peter, take it away.
That's weird. The screaming banner. I should scream this entire thing, but I'm not. Bravest warriors tremble in the presence of a haunted banner that wails a constant dirge. When an enemy unit makes a leadership test due to fear caused by the unit with the screaming banner, it rolls an extra d6 and discards the lowest result. That's it.
For 45 points, no. 25 points, 15 points, maybe.
Seems fair.
Yeah. Danny. The last one.
All right, so we got the Banner of Hellish Vigor or Standard of Hellish Vigor, 40 points. A unit carrying the Standard of Hellish Vigor gains reserve move. That's a great rule. For 40 points. 40 points is a lot for that, especially. All right, I wouldn't buy this probably because I can cast Hellish Vigor the spell and do it with that instead.
Yeah, I'm virtually the same. For 40, the last two should be 20 points cheaper, and then they're very, very considerable. But for 45 and 40, Screaming Banner and Hellish Vigor, it's just overcosted.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's funny that the other two, you're like 65 and 50, and you're like, damn, I'm going to take both of those. But 45 and 40, like, you guys are crazy. Lunacy out here. These points costs are outrageous. it just shows you the power. All right. Enchanted items. Helm of Commandment up first, 40 points. Necromancers and whites only. During the command sub phase of their turn, this character may attempt to enhance the sentience of those around them by making a leadership test using their own leadership. If the test is passed until the start of next turn sub phase, this character and any unit they have joined gains the +D3 modifier to their weapon skill characteristic to a minimum of 10. This is the other way of really enhancing some of these units. I mean, of course, I don't think Blood Knights especially need this one. But definitely, if you didn't want to spend the 65 on the banner of the barrows, and your meta is totally good enough with your Graveguard being weapon skill 4 or 5 or 6, this is a 25 point cheaper version of it.
Or 7 or 8 or 9 because Van Hells also exists and they stack.
Yep, that's absolutely correct. That is very correct. yeah, man, this is a good section.
Dude, I think the enchanted items is the best section.
That's fair. Well, tell us about the next one, Danny.
All right. So we got a Hand of Dust, 35 points, Necromancers only. This model can use a bound spell with a power level of 2, roll a d6 each time you use it. On a 1, it crumbles and can't be used again. So it's casting 9, and it's an assailment. And the target enemy unit suffers 2d6 strength 5 hits at AP minus 1. I mean, it's only 50-50, but like, wow, that is a good set of attacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's legit. I mean, if you have like that guy with illusion,
yeah,
as well, he can just so pop off. Like, yeah, you just have a necromancer that's just like, ugh, I'm actually going to die. It sounds yuck. Last one, Peter.
The Cloak of Mist and Shadows for 30 points. This cloak, it frees the wearer of their physical form, allowing them solid. It's for infantry necromancers, and they get ethereal.
Awesome. Okay. Is it crazy that I pictured that episode of The Simpsons where Homer, you know, was, you know, fell over in the bathroom when the helicopter looked through and they said it was giving him sexual powers?
Yes.
The cloak of Mist and Shadows. That's what it does to necromancers. That's
crazy. Yeah. That was crazy of you to think that.
Yeah. Arcane items, skull staff. Exactly what it says. It's a stick with a skull on it for 50 points. The bearer of the skull staff increases their dispel range by 3 inches, and when attempting a wizardly dispel, must apply a +1 modifier to this dispel. Note that this modifier is a result of a roll. It does not negate a miscast at double one. 50 points for dispelling more better. I'm not sure it's going to be worth it in this because I think you have better things to spend this on, but it's respectable. It's probably like 10 points too much than what I want to pay.
I mean, I pay 40 points for the wood elf version and I have to stand beside a wood to get it.
Yeah. So
screw you guys.
Fair enough. Peter, why don't you continue? Do the next one.
The Scepter of Dunwaro for 35 points. Probably the best magic item in the book or close to it. The necromancer Dunwaro suffered a terrible demise when he invoked the power of the scepter and raised more of the undead than he could control. The bearer of the scepter of Dunwaro, by the way, of Dunwaro is driving me crazy. Because de in French also means of, so we're saying the scepter of Noiro. So he gets to use if you put this on a guy, he gets to use the invocation of Nahek twice. But whenever you use the scepter on a roll of a 1 on a d6, you lose a wound. By the way, having played into this a few times now, I often have to remind my opponent about the downside of this because otherwise they just never would.
Yeah. Also, you must yell out, by the power of the scepter, every time you
by the power of the scepter.
Every time you use the second invocation. It's a ruin that now, yeah.
It's a really amazing ability, man. Like, you get to res, if you put this on your Master Necromancer, which you're going to do, you're resing 5 to 7 infantry units. You're resing 4 cavalry units per use. So
models,
you're getting, so you're getting like 10 to 14, or you're getting 8 of, you know, being able to have one guy res 8 Blood Knights is insanity, right?
Absolutely insanity. This is this is auto take, as far as I'm concerned. This is absolutely auto take. All right. Danny, take it away with the last one.
All right, we've got Spell Familiar. It's an extremely common magic item. I think it's the only one in the book.
I think it is, yeah.
It's 15 points. It's just like you would think it. It's 0 to 1 per wizard, which is an important distinction considering you could take like a billion of them. And it gives you one extra spell for 15 points, and it's extremely common. It's
real
amazing.
Good.
Should Fantastic. Be on pretty much all your wizards.
Absolutely should. And yeah. The magic item section for vampire counts is the deepest I think we've covered so far and probably the best in the book. Every section has at least one banger, if not two. It's ridiculous. Whereas you have some armies that are just like, I wish I didn't have to try and get good magic items because none of them in their book are good. They are just an absolute treasure trove. Vampire count special rules. Some of these we do not need to cover, like Cleaving Blow. You all know what that is already. But Dark Vitality, which is the one we've already said, gives you immunity to the general rule, to the crumble general rule if your general does die. Indomitable, of course, gives you resistance against combat res and the instability rules therein. And then the necromantic undead is the one we need to unpack because this is a conglom of 4 different rules slapped together under a nice title. Necromantic undead denotes that they have fear, immune to psychology, unbreakable, and unstable. Anything to add there, gentlemen?
They also cannot march unless they fly or have dark vitality.
Good stuff.
Oh, they get the fly exception too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I know, right?
Newly dead, we've already covered as well. And Railing Dirge, we've already covered as well. And Resurrecting the Fallen is pretty self-explanatory. So Danny, take it away with the first of the spells.
All right. So the first spell in this is Van Hell's Dance Macabre. It's casting value 8 or 12, has a range of 12 inches. If you cast with an 8 or more for your casting roll, the friendly unit gets plus D3 to one characteristic, or if you get a 10 or more. Did this change this to 12? This changed to 12 with the fact, though, right?
Yeah, it's a 12, yeah.
Oh, it's 12, yeah, okay. The target gains a D3 to 2 stats and their movement, weapon skill, and initiative. So movement if you want to go fast, and then weapon skill and initiative if you're expecting to fight or you don't think you need the extra movement to get there. It's really good.
Yeah.
Extremely good. Peter, Hellish Vigor.
Hellish Vigor. Yeah. It gives, you can cast it on a 7 or a 10. It's a range of self. If you cast it on a 7, a single friendly unit within this caster's command range gains reserve move. If you cast it on a 10 plus, everybody in your command range gets reserve move.
Nice. Has that changed to go up? Because my one says 9 to 12. 9 slash 12.
So it was, so you probably downloaded it. 9 to 12 was the pre-fac. The website is 7 to 10. So it was changed. It was because, the vampires needed a buff.
They did. They really did. It was just such a fledgling, struggling faction. Raise Dead is the last of them. It is an enchantment with a casting value of 10 plus, a range of 12. Place a unit of zombies, 2d3 risen zombies, on the battlefield anywhere completely within 12 of this model, but not within one of any enemy models. This unit cannot declare a charge this turn in which it was raised. And there we go. That is the entirety of this dang book done cover to cover. So, We've got our usual two rating and ranking metrics that we use. Vampire Counts players, gentlemen, how happy out of 10 should they be or will they be with this book?
Fucking 47. They should be
fucking A.
Ecstatic.
If I hear a single Vampire Counts player like complain, I'm going to slap the beret straight off their head.
The only one person that's allowed to complain is the guy that told me he had like 18 crypt horrors. You should be playing AOS.
Yes.
That guy should, everybody else,
correct.
You're okay.
Yeah, that guy can go play AOS with those models and you stick around for the rest. But yeah, that's a yikes.
I Danny think it's like himself, an 8, this book.
I think this is as close to a 10 as we've seen. Probably like 9, 9.5.
Can I tell but you why, Adam? I have a really good reason.
I don't care.
The amount of complaining that you're going to hear about your army while you're playing it is going to really ruin a lot of the experience for you. Yeah. Just be aware of that. Like, but otherwise, it's a really fun army to play, I'm sure.
As much as we've been going on about some of the very, very, very overtuned and potently powerful portions of this book, I see how many P's I got in there. That's great alliteration. there are ways to water this thing down a little bit. Take a lot more of the ghoul side of things. You know, take some Strigoi instead of, you know, vampire gods. Take one Mortis Engine and whole resist. Don't take 3. You like having friends tell yourself in a mirror that before you go to the event.
So I know we're going to probably talk about this a lot more in part 2 for the patrons, but like as a tidbit of advice, if you're playing into someone running double Mortis, like it's not an unwinnable battle. There's a lot, like the key is to force them into mistakes. If they're good, if they castle up, you pick a unit, you hit it hard. Mm-hmm. You've got to, and then you pull forward. If they're aggressive, that's exactly what you want. Because when they're aggressive, then you can flank, what you're generally going to want to do is you pick a unit and you say, that's the unit that needs to die. You don't think about doing other stuff. You kill that unit because everything comes back to life. If you have a way to kill Blood Knights, that's the way you're going to win the game because that's generally the unit that your opponent's going to try to overuse. So if you let them push their Blood Knights up and then you obliterate them, you can sit back and win the game that way. Let them just kind of shuffle forward. But it's definitely not an easy matchup. It requires a lot of thinking. And don't let them just sit back and res zombies all day. That's like that's the one thing you cannot do.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree with that. I think we have covered this one pretty good, but I'm like, so there aren't really kind of, I don't think there's a tier ranking for, you know, because in a bunch of other games, there's like a C tier through to S tier, like C tier, sorry, D tier, C tier, B tier, A tier, S tier for some other games. I think that's just we're just going to be doing a bottom, middle, and top tier. And I am of the opinion Vampire counts as the top of top tier. Is arguably the best army in the game, and it is actually an argument if there is a better or at least an equal. And I don't think either of you gentlemen are going to disagree with that.
Nope. Nope.
So on that note, we will wrap this one up. Please enjoy your Vampire Counts experience because it is a damn good time to be raising some dead because there is still a lot of fun to be had with this book. And because everything is fun and interactive and exciting, it kind of isn't a bad way to build a Vampire Counts army, I don't believe. Because like we said, we came past one bad unit. Everything else is good or freaking incredible. So go nuts, enjoy, and have a good time. So on that note, we'll see you over on part two, where we're going to be answering a bunch of vampire related patron questions. In addition, might be designing an army list or two, or even reviewing an army list or two. Should our patrons chuck them in? Because that is something we do also.
No.
Thank you very much, Peter. On that note, we're out of here. Say goodnight, Danny and Pete.
Goodbye, Danny and Pete.
You've been listening to that old world charm with those charming chaps, Adam, Danny, and Peter the Falcon. Thanks ever so much. Cheerio.